good singing this morning. Take your Bibles now and go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll read the first 5 verses this morning responsively. I'll read verse number 1. And you'll join me on verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verses 1 through 5. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be returned unto fables. And read verse number 5 with me now. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you've already done here today in our hearts. Lord, it's been a blessing to be here. Lord, it would just be a waste of time to be here, though, if you didn't show up. Holy Spirit, would you please allow us to be able to calm ourselves and focus our minds on the truth that you have been preparing for us this week. Lord, many of us here, Lord, we need this. Lord, our country needs this. Lord, would you please speak to our hearts this morning? We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
In your Bibles, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible talks about, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and appearing at his kingdom. Watch this. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's the title of my sermon this morning. We are living in strange days. America has used to have enough truth that she would put up with lies, but she didn't believe them. Today, America believes all the lies. What used to be wrong and bad is now right, and what used to be right is now bad. You know, years ago, if someone wore a mask in public, you didn't trust them. Now, if you don't wear a mask in public, you hate people and you're trying to kill your fellow American. You know, it used to be the bank robbers wore the mask going into the bank. Now you're the criminal if you don't wear one. 2 Timothy chapters 3 and chapter 4 are honestly, virtually, they go together. Now, you have to understand, the Bible is all God's word. Okay, let me say that again. The Bible is all God's words. The chapters and the verses were put there by man. I'm not saying that those are necessarily exactly the way God would have done it, but I do know this, chapter 3 and chapter 4 go together. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, it starts off in chapter 3, this know that also in the last day perilous times shall come. Then you go to chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, I charge thee therefore. Anytime the Bible says therefore, you go before to see what it's there for. That's a good way to remember it. Anytime in the Bible where it says therefore, go before to find out what it's there for. And what's before chapter 4 is chapter 3, and it starts all the way back at verse number 1. So this alone tells us that the two chapters go together, but you'll see how that they go together a little bit more here soon to come. I talk to preachers. They call and ask my advice on things. They call and get encouragement. They call and get strength, and I talk to a lot of preachers. It's hard to believe. I've been in the full-time ministry for over 30 years. On July 31st, I will have been preaching for 40 years. Praise the Lord. Never have I seen such a time as we have now. Truth is, people have sugarcoated the truth so much that most Americans don't know what real preaching's all about. Young people, listen to me. Joel Osteen's not a preacher. Right. What's the chick, the lady? Yeah, Joyce Meyer. She's no preacher either. It used to be something that was preaching was normal in America. I'm an anomaly in America almost anymore, for more than one reason. But I'm not one that sugarcoats the truth. People can't handle raw truth anymore. It should not shock us that America has gotten this way. God told us it would be that way. Matter of fact, the Bible says, look at verse number 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tickle our ears. Tell us what we want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. God told us that we were going to be where we are today. That people would not, by the way, America does not want to know what the truth is today. People don't want to hear the truth. I got a phone call this morning. Well, it was on the voicemail. One of our soul winners was out yesterday and presented the gospel to somebody, and somebody was all upset. They said, oh, somebody from your church came and asked me if I knew for sure I was going to heaven. And that's such a personal question. It's none of their business. You shouldn't be asking people that. People don't want to hear the truth. In other words, they don't know for sure they're going to heaven, but they want to feel good about dying and going to hell. Well, I happen to believe God said take the gospel to every creature. He said don't worry about the voicemails, the phone calls, and how they react. Just take the gospel to every creature. People want to be stimulated but not moved to action. People want to be emotionally moved without having to do anything about it. People want to be entertained, educated, and medicated. They don't want to be convicted of the truth of the Word of God. They want to feel good about their sin. They want to feel good about their lifestyle. But God says, truth ought to change you. Today, I want to show you what God has to say about preach the Word. Number one. Preach the word. That means this. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere or God's a liar. Yes, sir. Folks, listen to me. God does not command us to do something without the ability to do it. Amen. Why would he, Brother John, tell us to preach the word if he didn't give us an every word Bible? Yes, sir. Everybody doing all right? To the English-speaking people, that is the old King James Bible. The new King James, the NASV, the RSV, the HIV for the sodomites and the LGBTQ rainbow people alphabet soup crowd. The Mickey Mouse version, the bad news for good monkey or whatever man. The Reader's Digest condensed version. You can go down the line. Those are all man's words. By the way, they're all taken from the wrong manuscripts. Please don't get mad at me. Most of those came from the Latin Vulgate Bible, which is where they get the Catholic Bible, which is a corrupt Bible. Not because it's Catholic, it's corrupt. It was written by man to draw people away from the church to start the Catholic Church. I'm not upset. I'm just telling you, there's only one word of God, and that to the English-speaking people is the old King James Bible. I've been preaching for almost 40 years. It's got me this far. I'm not changing. God didn't change his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. By the way, if you go to John chapter 1, all three times where it says word, those W's are capitalized. If you know anything about English grammar, those are proper nouns describing a specific person, place, thing, or idea. Well, we find out what that word is in verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word is Jesus Christ. When he comes back in Revelation, the Bible says it's written on his vesture, his name, the Word of God. When you mess with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus. Back off. You can mess with me all you want. Don't mess with my Jesus. Don't mess with the Bible. Why would God command us to preach the word if we didn't know what the word was? Say, well, how do you know, preacher? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. I love this. And that from a child thou hast known the holy what? Scriptures. That's the Bible, right? By the way, that was Old Testament. The Old Testament scripture. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now watch this. Skip down to verse number 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Watch this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Did you see what was in verse 16 in chapter 3? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Same words. By the way, the Bible is not just inspired, it's perfect, it's infallible, it's word by word, but it is inspired. It's not, the inspiration was not with the original manuscripts. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Did you know there was more time passed from the people in Jesus' day for the Old Testament writings than there is since Jesus was on earth for us with the New Testament? And they didn't have the originals. The word inspire means to breathe into. I am preaching to you today and I am expiring. The air is going over my voice folds in my throat and I have to breathe to speak. God gave men the word of God as he spake it to them.
Yes, sir.
When you give someone CPR and you blow air into their lungs, you are inspiring them. You are breathing words, you're breathing life into their body. God breathed into man the breath of life. He inspired man. By the way, did you know that God doesn't have to breathe in you each time you have to take a breath? The inspiration doesn't die. If the inspiration of the word of God is dead, Jesus is dead, not risen again, and we don't have a living word of God. The inspiration of the Bible is just as important as the preservation of the Bible. Why would God command us to preach the word if there was no word to preach? The world, communism, socialism, liberalism does not want anything being the authority over them. They want to be the authority.
Yes.
The United States government and the liberals in our government want to oppress you with their authority. They don't want you yielding to God's authority. Mr. Cuomo in New York and Mr. de Blasio in New York City, neither one of them want you going to church. It's okay to riot, burn buildings down, shoot police, and kill everybody. That's all right, but it's illegal to go to church. Let's tear down all the statues. Let's get rid of all of American history. Say why? Because the very people that want to do that want to be the oppressors of America today. I'm going to say some things. If I say it right, somebody will get mad, but you find out I'm right. BLM, Black Lives Matter, has nothing to do with helping people. Started by Louis Farrakhan, the black Muslims. I've dealt with those rascals. I have in my office, in my desk, a paper from Louis Farrakhan from 25 years ago. And his demands then are the very thing people are writing for today. In his own words. Who's in charge of BLM? Louis Farrakhan. He's a Muslim. He hates God. By the way, he hates black people. He just wants power. In his paper, he said, the Bible says they believe in a return of the Savior. They don't believe that it's Jesus. And they said that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Louis Farrakhan, in his own words, said, and the black people, that means the black people will rise first because nobody is more dead mentally than the black people. He said it, I didn't. It's in his writing, not mine. He is the racist, not me. Can I tell you something? Everybody's life matters. The unborn life, the born life, and I don't care what color it is. You look around, we got all colors in here today. And everybody's welcome. And I love everybody the same way. God's colorblind and so am I. I have one thing in common with God. Amen. By the way, the rioters are not right. The Bible is right.
Amen.
Most of your rioters are paid off by George Soros and Bill Gates. Bill Gates is pushing for everybody to be microchipped. Just so you know. Event 21, look it up. He is pushing for everybody to be microchipped so they can track who's been vaccinated and who's not. But this is not the mark of the beast, he said. Defunding the police departments. Can I tell you something? That's about as smart as smacking your father or your mother. That is about as ludicrous as you can get. Say why? Because people want anarchy, they don't want justice. By the way, thank God we got a president who backed us out of the WHO, World Health Organization. And hopefully he'll defund the CDC. Yeah. You see, the church, denominationalism, and intellectuals, not the Pope, not the pastor, have the final authority. The Bible is the final authority. The government doesn't have final authority. This preacher does not have final authority. This church does not have final authority. It's not the issue. The word of God and what God said is the authority. By the way, you doubt me? Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter of the Bible. Some of the last verses God put in the Bible are this. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says this, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. What's that in reference to? The Bible. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Listen to me. That does not mean that you can lose your salvation. What can we take away from or add to the word of God? You can't add words to it. Adding to it means you add something to the authority of the book. Take away from means you take away from the authority from this book. When a pastor, a pope, a priest, a preacher, a rabbi stands up and says, the Bible says this, but the church doctrine is more important, you've added to the words of God. When somebody gets up and says, well, the Bible says this, but There are better translations. Mr. Schofield is wrong. Mr. Schofield in the Schofield Reference Bible often uses other verses, and he will say in his notes, well, in more modern transcripts, these verses and these words have been omitted. He's an idiot. He's a heretic. And Mr. Schofield's wrong. You say, well, he was a Bible scholar. Okay, go to the average university, and those are supposed to be smart people too, and they believe you came from a monkey. That came from an amoeba that swam and swam and swam for millions of years and finally decided it needed legs and popped legs out. Then decided it wanted to breathe air and grew lungs. Then it decided it wanted to see what was on top of the water and walked out on the land through millions of years and decided it didn't need its tail anymore. Decided it wanted to stand up on its back feet and not crawl on all fours. Now it teaches in the university. And you think they're smart? God says, don't add to the authority of the Word of God and don't take away from the authority of the Word of God. The Pope has no business standing up saying he speaks ex cathedra in the place of God. Back in March, he declared that it would be okay for Catholics to pray to God directly since we were under quarantine. That was very nice of him. What gave him the right to say that? If you were here on Tuesday night, I preached a sermon called The Rent Veil. God tore the veil in the temple from top to bottom and gave us direct access to God, period. End of discussion. Amen. You don't need me to talk to God. You talk to him. You need me to preach the word to you and preach the stuffings out of get you right with God. I'm not going to answer to God for you. You can tell me what's wrong in your life all you want, but don't you confess your sins to me. Confess them to him. I can't forgive you. He can. You see, the curse comes when people add to the authority of the Bible by saying, well, it's the church. Or they take away from the authority. Well, God really didn't mean that. Mr. MacArthur out in California used to say, well, it's not the, it doesn't matter. You could use potato chips and pop for the Lord's Supper. Because the blood of Jesus trickled to the foot of the cross, so it doesn't matter. Mr. MacArthur's a heretic and he's wrong. I'm going to get somebody mad at me. But Chucky Swindoll in his wrong Bible, you shouldn't listen to him because he's not preaching the word. I don't care how suave he sounds on the radio. He's a heretic. He's using the wrong scriptures. Well, he's an intellectual. Yeah. I gave you my intellectualism. People wanted to be educated and have their ears tickled by the Bible. They didn't want the truth preached. Let me ask you a question. How come there'll be more people? Everybody doing okay? How come there's more people at these so-called churches where you can wear your pajamas to church and listen to rock music and they have an entertainment show and they got their live bands on there and that's okay and they can draw a big crowd, but somebody get up and preach a snot out of them, they'll leave. By the way, they're the ones taking government money too during the COVID thing. I had a bank this week offer me that kind of stuff, said don't want it. Oh, there's churches taking the PPP money. Just so you know. I'm nice enough, I won't mention their names in public. But it's hard. Preach the word. If God told us to preach the word, there has to be the word to preach. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If there's not an every word Bible somewhere, God's a liar. Let's shut it down and let's get honest jobs. Well, in the original transcripts, nobody's ever seen those. Folks, if God's only strong enough to have it inspired and preserved in the originals, he's not a very big God. Number two, they shall turn away their ears. God said in verse number four that they shall, the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Verse number four, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Look at chapter 3. Verse number 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Skip down to chapter 3, verse number 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I just keep searching for truth. I keep searching for truth. Well, open up the real Bible and we'll show you what the real truth is. Preacher, I'm just not sure. There's so many different religions and so many different Bibles. Which one? This one. It's the truth. The Bible says in verse number 4 that they shall be turned unto fables. The word fables there is the Greek word mythos. It's where we get the word myths. Not Mythbusters. It's fictional stories. Let's get up and tell stories and wear our turtleneck sweater and sit there on a chair and give a little inspirational speech. And we've been to church today. Just make sure that you leave us your bank account number so that we can direct withdrawal from your account. That's what a lot of these churches are doing. Bless God, I wouldn't go to any church where they wanted my banking information and direct withdrawal. Folks, that's man making money in the name of God, and it's wrong. God said, pass the plate, let people give voluntarily, don't force it out of them. People don't want to hear the truth while we're out soul winning far more than they used to. I've been soul winning for over 40 years. Do you know that less and less people want to hear the truth now than they did 40 years ago? I've been knocking on doors for 40 years, taking the gospel to every creature. I've done it in I don't know how many dozens and dozens and dozens of states, from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida, from San Diego, California to Winthrop, Maine, and even farther up than that. I have been soul winning and preaching all over this country. May I say something? Fewer and fewer people want to hear the truth. I don't know how many times I'll knock on a door and somebody will come to the door, and I'll have a gospel tract. They'll say, it's okay, don't want nothing to do with it, and turn around, close the door, and walk away. Say, what do you do with it, preacher? I leave it in the door. People do not sometimes come back to church because they don't like the preaching of the truth. I visit people that come to our church, and there's sometimes they'll say, your people were friendly, but that's just not my style. We like the modern stuff. In other words, I didn't pat you on the back and burp you and make you feel good about yourself. They were convicted by the Holy Ghost of God, and they don't like how it feels, so they're not coming back. Well, you come here, we're going to put the jelly on the bottom shelf and open the jelly jar and smear it all over you. Say why? Because I believe that we ought to get it to where everybody can understand it. God didn't sugarcoat it in the scripture. Why should you? Matter of fact, did you ever read some of Jesus' things that he said to the religious people? You whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You're like a bunch of snakes. Called them vipers. You think I'm rough. That was the Savior. You know, the one that they paint the picture of with long hair that wiggled when he walked. That's not what Jesus was. He's the one that made a cat of nine tails, went into the temple on Palm Sunday, and started cracking the whip and kicked the tables over the money changers and told them, "Yeah, get out of here. We're not going to turn God's house into a den of thieves."
That's right.
That doesn't sound like somebody that wiggles when they walk. I hit you with my purse. Gag. I can't see Jesus doing that. Nope, 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 nope.
Oh, we just love everybody, and love is whatever you want love to be. That's not what Jesus said. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
That's good.
If you love me, obey me.
Amen.
Obey my word. People want to be entertained. They don't want spirituality. People want to feel good. They don't want to be convicted about sin in their life. Can I tell you something? This preacher's a sinner just like you are. But may I say something? You're a sinner too. We had a person come here a couple years ago. They heard me call them a sinner. She went back and got on Facebook, said, I went to a church today. That pastor had the audacity to call me a sinner. Had 100 people respond. 99 out of 100 agreed with the preacher. Only one said that I was wrong. She's never been told in her whole life that she was a sinner. I don't sin. I just make mistakes. God bless you. My Bible says if a man says he has no sin, he's a liar.
That's right.
Guess what? There's your first one. So we're supposed to preach the word, the King James Bible. Bible says that they'll turn away their ears from the truth. We are living in a generation that does not want to hear the truth.
You're right.
People come to church, they fall asleep. People sit there and I'll be preaching and they'll just cringe. I've watched people put their hands over their ears and go like this while I'm preaching. Sweetheart, you just added 10 more minutes to the sermon. It doesn't bother me a bit. Just because where you went to church, they didn't have a man in the pulpit, didn't have lace on his underwear. This church has got a man in the pulpit. You might not like him. You might not like what I say. There's sometimes I don't like what I say. But God didn't tell me to preach what I like. He said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I am not here to tickle your ears and make you feel good so that you'll give more money. No, I'm supposed to preach the sin and the dickens out of you, get the devil mad, and get you mad enough to change your life. Number three, God tells us how to behave. Look at verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The word watch there is a very interesting word. How many of you men were, or ladies, or both, were in the military? Raise your hand. Okay, several of you. How many of you ever had guard duty? Or you had to do watch? That's exactly what that word means. That means somebody that is walking guard, they're watching to make sure everything inside is the way it's supposed to be and everything outside stays away. God says we are to watch in all things. Say, preacher, why do you preach sermons like this? Because it cleans the house out of all the dirt. Everybody doing okay? The word watch means to guard, like somebody in the military doing watch. It means be observant, not just floating along accepting what people say. If you're on guard duty, if you're on watch, you don't let just anybody come in where you're watching.
That's right.
Guess what? We're not supposed to let all the limp-wristed, bubble-headed religious people in. Everybody doing okay? I'm supposed to get up and preach against these idiots like Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and all these other idiots out there. You say, you called him an idiot? I call him a few other things too. I can use scriptural words on it. Reprobate. Heretic. They're preaching wrong doctrine. By the way, Chucky Swindoll, same way. James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family. Say, preacher, I can't believe you're naming names. Well, then don't name them, but I will, because I'll try to keep it out of a church. Don't read books that are written by people that use the wrong Bible. They're giving you wrong doctrine. They're talking about the wrong God. Ouch. Say, what is that? I'm watching. I'm keeping watch. We ought to be so tuned into the truth that error reveals itself. Amen. Folks, and I know we've got people coming to our church regularly from other places. I am not criticizing your church. If you think I'm talking about you, I'm not. I'm trying to warn my church. But may I say this? It's refreshing to come to a place where the truth is the truth. If we have to bring in the wrong, if we have to bring in the devil's music to get people to come to church, why do we want to use the devil's methods to reach God's people? I've said this before. If grandma and grandpa are buried outside the back of the church, and you're in that church that's doing wrong things, dig them up and bring them somewhere where you can go to church the right way. Matter of fact, most of the churches that have cemeteries have more people in the cemetery and more life in the cemetery than sits in the pew of their church. Everybody doing all right? I just believe in doing things right. So we need to be tuned into the truth so that we understand the truth. Hey, if something's not tuned into the truth, guess what? You're tuned into something that's untrue. Number two, endure afflictions. People will afflict us for living truth. People are going to make fun of you for going to a church that preaches the truth. You're just old-fashioned. Thank you very much. I didn't mean that as a compliment. Too bad, took it that way. My wife and I were visiting a family years ago. And they were well-to-do. Their house was probably $1.5 million. They were talking about all the stained glass and talking about all the different things. And I was sitting there biting my tongue. My wife squeezing my hand tighter and tighter. She was like, can we get... we were sitting in the formal living room. They had more money in the decoration of that one little space about the size of this platform than I have in my entire house, and probably that I have total in the cost of my house. And they said, when you build a building, what kind of stained glass are you going to use? It just invokes the Holy Spirit of God. And I said, ma'am, not going to have any stained glass. Matter of fact, not going to have any windows in my auditorium. She said, well, why not? All of the great cathedrals of Europe have them. I said, yeah, and people that go there are dying and going to hell. I said, I don't need stained glass to get the Holy Spirit. I said, the Bible says if somebody gets born again, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of them. What? No, you're not. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I said, I don't need stained glass to give me the feeling of God. I just need the preaching of the Word of God, and people need to get saved. Amen. Needless to say, she didn't come back. And I wasn't even invited back. Oh, I get people that'll criticize me for the way I preach. Don't care. Oh, you're too radical. Well, they said that about Jesus and the disciples. Look what they did. Can I tell you something? You can endure.
Well, somebody might laugh at me, preacher.
Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you. Folks, get over the fact that somebody might make fun of you. Look in the mirror, you'll know why they made fun of you. Amen, Brother Josh? He makes fun of himself, you know. His wife makes fun. No. Can I tell you something? Too many times in this life, we get our feelings hurt and we're afraid. You don't have anything to be afraid of. I mean, these are the same people that they look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. You know, they got piercings everywhere. And they look like a weed eater cut their hair. And they're not sure if they're a man, a woman, or somewhere in between. You know, when you were born, your birth certificate did not say to be determined later. It's not real hard. I can take you to the pasture, look at a bunch of cows and say, okay, that's a cow, that's a cow, that's a cow, that's a bull. Everybody doing okay? It's not real hard to figure out. You know, we are raising generations of people educated, quote unquote, in our public school system, teaching them that they don't know what they are. Help us. The Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. Say, what's that, preacher? That means get the gospel out. That means when you're going somewhere, you stop at the store, you give the cashier a gospel tract. That means when you go to the gas station and you get your coffee at Sheets, the lady or the man at the counter, you give them a gospel tract. That means when you're doing business with somebody, you give them a gospel tract. When you're at the jail, you find somebody that's at the jail. There you go, Brother Randy. You give them a gospel tract. Folks, I didn't want to walk all the way back to Jimbo because he'd been there too many times. He's got a stack of tracks. No, can I tell you something? You ought to get the gospel out to every creature. That's what the work of an evangelist is.
Yes, sir.
One day this week, I stopped at Sheets on my way to the office. It's about 4:15 in the morning. I walk through the door, and there's a police officer and a guard there from another place that does guard duty. And the guy behind the counter says, hey, pastor, as I walk through the door. Man, the heads were snapping. And I was going to buy the police officer's coffee for him, but the guard snuck up ahead of me and put his card in the machine before the officer could pull his money out and did it before me. I said, hey. And they both turned around. I said, I was supposed to do that. I said, too late. We had a nice conversation. By the way, gave both of them a gospel tract. I didn't give the guy that worked there one because I already given him about 10. I pulled one out. And he said, you need some more? They're back here. I'm not lying. I am not lying. I love it. I love it. Hey, that's called do the work of an evangelist. So I'd be embarrassed to do that. I'm not. I'd be embarrassed not to. Get the gospel to everybody and then show the world how God and the church has helped you. Make full proof of thy ministry. When's the last time you told somebody how good God's been to you? Well, that would be weird, preacher. We can talk about television shows. We can talk about rock music. We can talk about immorality. We can talk about politics, we can talk about anything, but why is it that when we talk about God, everybody wants to, oh, we can't talk about that. That's weird. Well, bless God, call me weird, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I don't blame politicians for where America is today. I blame preachers, churches, and Christians. Everybody doing okay? My son sent me something this morning. I won't play it for you. I can later if you want. I'm not even sure where this fellow was. It was a black pastor somewhere in a big city. He got up and he preached. And buddy, let me tell you, he was smoking hot. He got up and said, you need to quit blaming all the white people for killing us. Black people are killing each other more than they are. He said, time you boys, he said, you're the ones that are afraid to go out in your own neighborhood. He said, and it's not because of the white people. I was like, thinking, man. He said, time you take your dirty, nasty pajamas off and get dressed before you go outside. Time you pull your drawers up and don't have your underwear hanging out. I was like, come on, preacher, come on. And then, as only a black preacher can do, do we have a witness, huh? Man, he was going for it. How about we put that on the news versus what you see on the news today? I'm not saying because he's black. I'm not saying it because I'm white. It doesn't matter what color we are. How about we realize everybody's life matters, period?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Well, there's some bad police officers out there, yeah? How about the people, what they're doing protesting them?
Amen.
Burning buildings down, shooting people, killing people, that's real good, isn't it? That's not how you fix things. How about we talk about God at school? How about we talk about God at work? How about we talk about God in our neighborhood? I got to quit. Preach the word. That means you need to read his word. You need to memorize his word. You need to hear his word preached. You ought to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if at all possible. You need to obey his word. I don't care how much you know here, how much are you doing? God has blessed Grace Baptist Church because we're not trying to do it man's way. We're doing it God's way by God's word.
That's good, preacher.
How about we just follow the book God gave us?
Amen.
I was talking to our banker this week. I'm talking to him about our loan for our paving and stuff. And I said, look, I said, Doc, I said, all the businesses that you told me were guaranteed income, how many hundreds of those businesses did you just give government loans to? I said, I'm not asking for a loan to run my business. I'm asking so I can get paving done and do it without waiting, because now's the time's right and I can save about $20,000. He was choking on his snuff. Well, I said, God paid his bills the whole time. I said, my church has increased during this, not decreased. I said, I've just added members to my church during all this. We didn't hide in things. Everybody doing okay? How about you join in the doing? How about you take some gospel tracts and give them out this week? How about you show up and go soul winning? How about you join the church? How about you help serve in the church? How about you invite people to church? And if you can't do any of that, but you know somebody that you'd like for me or one, Brother Josh or somebody to go visit about the church, write the address down, put it on that a card out there by Mrs. Barnes's office and throw it in there, and I'll go give them the gospel. How about we just decide we're going to preach the word? Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming.
Amen.
We don't have long to preach it. How about we get it to every creature? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me today. Would you raise your hand? Well, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. Whatever decision, if you just want to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar, I believe that if God's people could get on fire and obey him, God could turn this thing around. But it's up to us, not him.